What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray. We're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, and mental health. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. And before we introduce today's guest, my brother Eric from Huntsville, aka Hunts Vegas, back in the city. Who do you have for our Black Men Sunday Spotlight, my brother?
Hey, appreciate that, Corey. Hey, man, you know what? A couple weeks ago, we just celebrated Memorial Day. So my spotlight going to be basically focused on the real reason why we celebrate Memorial Day. That's the spotlight for the day. So did you know that actually Black people started Memorial Day back in May 1st, 1865? Well, whites erased it from history. And did you know that Memorial Day was actually started by free enslaved people to honor fallen Union soldiers? Let me tell you a little something about this real quick. The Civil War ended on April 9th, 1865, with the Union victorious over the Confederate foes. Now, in order to celebrate the victory and honor the dead on May 1st of that year, around 10,000 free Black men and women gathered in historic Hampton Park in South Carolina. Now, out of these 3,000 African-American students, they led the singing of John Brown's Body While Holding the Arms, which Loads of Roses, according to Blight's book, The American Oracle. Now, after the school children, hundreds of African-American women followed with processions and basket of flowers, wreaths, and crosses, according to the American Oracle, Black Men March, followed by a group of Union, the infantry. Now, at the event, other presentations proceeded from a children's choir singing sections from Black ministers presenting scriptures. Now, this event symbolized the blood, the sweat, and the tears of each one of these 257 Union soldiers shredded during the war. That's my spotlight for today. Did you know Memorial Day was actually founded by us, but was enslaved and kept away from white men? Now, back to you.
Oh, man. I had no idea, man.
Yeah.
I had no clue. Wow, that's
right.
That was the spotlight there, man.
That's yeah, man. Wow. The truth is knowledge, man. We hide a lot of stuff, you know? So that's my job, to uncover the unknown hidden secrets that we don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're about to get into it today, man. I appreciate that spotlight, Eric, out of Huntsville, a.k.a. Hunts Vegas, Alabama.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go. For sure, man. Well, let's go on and introduce today's guest, man. We're talking Rodney Griffin. This brother's a financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual. You know, the topic is up. A lot of people want to know the word tariffs. I mentioned it on the show, but, you know, we've had guests that didn't want to touch it. We touching it today. This brother here is a Howard University alum. This brother's from Nashville, Tennessee, living in Bowie, Maryland, doing his thing. So without further ado, Rodney Griffin, welcome to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Corey, man. Thanks for having me.
Definitely, man. So let's just jump right into it, man. You know, so when we talking about these tariffs, man, you know, because I hear a lot of brothers, man, I like to eat me an egg every day, man, but I ain't got $10 like that.
Yeah.
You know, so when we talk about these tariffs, let's talk about what a tariff is first, because we hear the president imposing tariffs on different countries, and we just understand that, okay, the prices on certain things are going up. So let's talk about, on a fundamental level, what is a tariff?
Yeah, man. So a tariff is an additional cost. It's like a tax. So the government puts on imported goods. So anything that's not made here, the government's going to tax it in some type of way. It's different than income or property taxes because it directly affects the price on the good itself, which can lead to higher consumer prices. And due to that consumer price increase, the average household may potentially spend thousands of extra dollars on everyday expenses. So it's important to keep an eye on the news and monitor your spending habits to stay on track with the financial goals amidst to uncertainty. Oftentimes, staying that course can avoid like rash financial decisions and, you know, similar to like you mentioned, making a decision if you need to buy a dozen eggs or if you just need to go buy some chicken so you can make some eggs.
Gotcha, man. And let's talk about this too. You know, for a lot of brothers now that are, you know, trying to get in the housing market, and a lot of brothers like, hey, I want to get a brand new build. So when we talk about these tariffs, like, would that affect new builds, like as far as the wood, as far as the tools needed for the plumbing, the tools needed to build the house. Would those tariffs on the home builders create higher prices on homes for buyers?
Potentially, man. And I say that because my wife and I had to get our AC looked at recently. And the guy that was doing our AC was saying, hey, if you all don't get it done sooner than later, my cost that it would cost me to buy the goods that I'm using to get a new AC, I'm gonna have to charge you on that because they're not gonna have to take a hit to just try to make ends meet. And so it depends on what it is that is being used and what goods that they're having to import from somewhere else that can potentially increase the cost of, you know, building a home, even cars, you know, from that perspective. So
Okay, great information, man. And let's talk about, it's Black Men Sundays, man. We trying to create this generational wealth, get our finances right. Brothers have small businesses, brothers have big businesses. You know, we have a lot of CEOs listen to the show, but when I look at the tariffs, the inflation is really just starting to settle down some. Now these tariffs are kicking in. So how will the tariffs affect the Black community?
yeah, so I think the biggest thing that we have to do is really reevaluate where our spending is going. I think a lot of times in the beginning, we kind of spend on consumer goods or things that we definitely want, not necessarily need. And so it really is more so reassigning our budget and really understanding, okay, in this time and era, similar to like how we saw with the investments that we had, they were going up and down. You know, people was trying to pull their money out sooner than later and not letting things just kind of settle. That would be the same thing when we start thinking about what we're buying and how we're going about getting things. We may not need to buy everything right away because things may settle. And so it may just be reevaluating our budget, understanding where we need to actually spend our money versus just putting it the way we would do it any other time.
And as far as the household goes, the budget's kind of been a little difficult since inflation kicked in. So do you have any financial tips for, managing household budgets?
Yeah, so a lot of times when I speak to my clients, we literally just kind of do a reevaluation of what's changed, right? And so as we understand, some of the cost of goods may have gone up, which therefore means grocery prices have gone up. So also we haven't seen it as much of an effect in terms of going out to eat. We haven't seen restaurants actually increase the cost of their goods for the same type of food. So really the cost that is going up is more so on things that we're spending our money on, which is food. And so in some instances, it may be buying in bulk versus buying individually on a day-to-day basis, just to say, hey, we might need to freeze some of this and then just thaw it out versus just letting it sit in the freezer and using it. I think a lot of times, even in my household, we have a lot of unused foods that we just kind of sit there and not really use it, but then we're buying more stuff. And that's where when we look at that budget, are those necessary things? If we have food in the household, do we need to continue to overspend versus just leveraging the things that we already have?
Gotcha. And when we're talking about these tariffs, I've heard the conversation from the top down. Oh man, going and buying, go to Sam's and buy in bulk now. Stuff's going to be twice as high. Should we be panicked about these tariffs?
I don't think so, man. And not to even get into the government and the thought and philosophy on it, but I think it's anything that we've seen in society in general, we tend to adjust. And so the tariffs, if they happen to still be here, we'll end up adjusting how we go about spending, also how we end up making money as well. And so as business owners, we're going to have to adjust what we're using in terms of how we're going about our market base to make money. And again, similar to like the AC situation, we may have to increase our cost of goods in order to continue to sustain where we are. And so we in life, we make adjustments as we see new things happen. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about the tariffs right now. If anything, I would just really monitor where our spending is going, and then we'll just continue to build around that.
Okay, and what about, small businesses where, a lot of the cash flow goes into buying the products to sell, where they may get it from China, may get it from countries where the tariffs are going up. So what advice and what confidence do you have to give the small businesses that are like, well, you know what, I have to get my products from those countries. Should I look elsewhere or how should they navigate around that?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say with that is really do a deep dive of your inventory of what you have, right? I think with small businesses, we may tend to try to buy a lot of different things without the understanding of what people really actually want. And so from that perspective, see, do an analysis on a month-to-month basis and identify, okay, what are those goods or things that people are actually purchasing? And then purchase from that perspective, because we may be purchasing things that's never getting purchased from, you know, our consumers, and now it's just sitting on the shelf. And then when you factor in the cost of tariffs, that's going to just be an additional cost that you're not able to actually recoup, because what you would have paid for it, if the tariffs happen to go away, you now bought it at a premium versus at a discount. And so I would definitely, one, evaluate your inventory to make sure that you're not overspending on the things that's not being purchased. And then the second part of that is really more so, yeah, it might be just shopping around and seeing if you can get the same type of product or good somewhere else without having to spend as much money. Because at the same instances, it might be one of those things where there are individuals internally within the states that can give you the same product at the same price and essentially be able to still keep the business going the same way it has been.
Great information, man. I'm about to jump on my emotional soapbox with you real quick. That's why I do this show every Sunday, man. I like to get mine off too. But I'm just saying, man, you know, pre-pandemic, I was the man. You talking about investing easy, saving easy, go out to dinner, $100 easy. That was with the tip for two steaks, right? But then all of a sudden the pandemic hits, we in the house, we get out the pandemic, the inflation hits. I'm looking like, I got a raise, but I don't even feel like I got a raise. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you stay financially steady where we just really diving out of the pandemic into this inflation? It's almost like we just jumped in from the 3 foot to the 12 foot deep pool with this inflation. Now we're around the 5-6 feet. We're like, okay, we're getting a little bit better now. But now we hear this tariff and it's like, damn, is that going to be a wave that we're going to have to climb over as well? Like, that's why I started the show with the price of eggs. So I'm like, man, a dozen of eggs, what? So would the tariffs create financial unsteadiness, and how do we remain steady in our economy?
Yeah, so I'm gonna give you a little scenario, right? So we started out, I'm an 80s baby, so think about it, back in the day when I was 16, the cost of gas was how much? 99 cents, right? I could get a gas card from my mom for $25 and fill up twice. Now we look at things today, the cost of gas is almost $3-4. But we adjusted, right? And so I think the same instances is how we adjusted to times changing from what the cost of goods were 20, 30 years ago, and now still being able to still maintain, it's the same thing now. So we will make those same financial adjustments like we did in the 80s, the 90s, to the 2000s. I think right now it's just awareness. We wasn't necessarily spending the money, so we wasn't truly aware of it at that point in time. And so we just need to get back to having those same day-to-day objectives. Like you mentioned, pre-pandemic, you know, you were saving, you was the man, you was able to do that. You still could save, right? But you just may not spend as much, because even in that pandemic time when we wasn't spending anything, we probably could have saved a lot more. But, you know, we used the assets of like, oh, I need to get out the house. Oh, I need to have, you know, Instacart and all these other things. And we stopped doing the same things that we used to do that was helping us save where we were at the time. And so it's really a mental change versus anything from a financial change. And so as we change our mentality on how we go about spending money, how we go about continue to plan, that's really going to continue to drive everything else, because the hindsight of tariffs, inflation, and all that stuff, those are things that we're going to experience at some point in time. It's not going to last forever, because it will adjust. As we see in society, life changes and we make adjustments. And so at that point, just continue to play the slow game, because it's going to continue to build you long term.
My name is Kalali Dogbe. I'm calling from out of Prince Frederick, Maryland. So once again, definitely happy to take this time to, you know, come talk to us about the tariffs, because everybody's talking about these tariffs and things like that. So, I mean, you kind of already spoken to it as well, but what level of like instability do you see in the overall economy, I guess, based on some of these tariff decisions? Because what we're hearing, you know, even though we're saying kind of state of course and things like that, but what we're hearing is like, okay, we're engaged in a trade war with China. You know what I'm saying? We've got double digit tariffs on China, different things like that. So, I guess just give us a little bit more about how we deal with some of that uncertainty, you know what I'm saying? Some of that instability.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing that you just mentioned right there, the instability. Like, we can't plan for something that we don't know, right? And so at that point, it's really just the planning piece in general, right? And so, as we know, and I'll give you my example, and it could have been a good or bad thing, but prior to hearing the tariffs on cars, I needed a car at the time, but I wasn't ready to spend money on a car a month ago, even though it's like, oh, well, they're going to put a tariffs on cars, 25%. And to me, that was like, now I'm spending $9,000 more on a car that I could be buying right now. And so, in some instances, it's really just planning ahead of what could come from it. So, I ended up getting a car, but then what happened? There's no tariffs on cars right now. And so, we can't try to react to what's being said, but we can try to plan ahead on what you may potentially need versus not need, right? So if you need certain things and there may be a potential tariff attack or a tariff action on that specific thing, go ahead and start, putting those things in action sooner than later. But other stuff, I wouldn't even worry about until it's something that's going to affect you financially, personally,
We've been seeing, or at least from the economic point of view, we've been seeing is like concerns about a thing called stagflation. Do you know about that? Is that something that you could describe for us a little bit more in depth? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you know.
Nah, that's something that I'm not too familiar with at this point. So, but yeah, if you have any background on it, definitely learn to hear about it.
No, just from what, like I said, I'm learning a little bit more about it as we go. And so, I was just wondering if you knew anything about it. From what I understand about it, it's like when inflation, so the tariffs can cause inflation obviously to go up based on like the taxes that are passed on. So it's a situation where, all right, we're in a catch 22 where people are really afraid of spending, but at the same time, inflation is going up, which is not a common occurrence. And so, from what I understand, like I said, I got to look into it a little bit more. But from what I understand, that particular circumstance is called stagflation. And I've just been trying to pick different people's minds on what they think is the possibilities of those happening. So, didn't mean to put you on the spot, but
Oh, no, you're
I just
good.
been picking different people's brains on different things like that. So.
So I'll tell you this though, when we think about just inflation, tariffs, and all of that, it really affects those people today versus individuals that are looking to plan for their future 15, 20, even 10 years from now. Because as we even looking at it from an investment standpoint, because that's one of the things you mentioned earlier, the earlier part of this year, we saw, record numbers in terms of the market going down. And that emotional attachment to seeing your money, lo seeing yourself lose money, you end up thinking, what? I need to save what I have. Right. But in that same instances, those people that made those decisions to go ahead and start pulling their money out, it ended up bouncing back. Right. And that's what we've seen generations and generations. What happens in terms of an effect for whatever kind of cause it is, there's a better effect from that perspective. And so what we're going to see is with the cause of potential tariffs, inflations, et cetera, the country is going to adjust because it's going to affect everybody. And in it affecting everybody, we make adjustments to make sure that we get back to level ground. So that's why I say, even from the standpoint of the tariffs, it's going to be a short adjustment. But then from that perspective, we all bounce back to where it was. So.
No, I definitely appreciate that. That's a great comment because I've even been having those conversations in my house in terms of, well, should we get a little bit more liquid or should we keep our money in assets? Because we got investments and stuff like that, and I'll be 100% transparent. We have moved some of that stuff to liquid just to take care of some like day-to-day expenses. So we're a little bit more liquid now than we normally would be. Normally our stuff would be more to the stock market. So it's good to hear that, from somebody who's in the financial field in terms of we should essentially stay the course, you know what I mean? And not try to get too crazy with pulling money out of the market.
And I use an easier example in terms of we talk about buying homes and things like that, right? From your perspective, when is the best time to buy? When the market's up or when the market's down?
Oh, well, I heard this several times. And cats are talk. I'm talking to, I mean, Corey, no, I'd be talking like me. I'm a real estate like supporter. Like I'm like, if you can get in, like this is off topic, but I'm gonna like I'll be in the barbershop, right? I'll be in the barbershop. I'll be talking to my barber. My barber is huge on crypto right now. You know what I'm saying? And so he's like, man, what you need to do is you need to go buy some of this XRP. And I'm like, man, I'm not buying XRP. I was like, if I got $2,000, I'm gonna put my $2,000 into real estate. Like even like I'll put it, I got money in the stock market, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. But I'm gonna put it into real estate. If I got $2,000, we just had a dude on here last week talking about how we can, you know, put some money into the real estate game and try to make money that way. So I'm big on real estate. So to answer your question, you know what I'm saying? To answer your question, the one I always go by is, you know, the best time to buy a house was what, 10 years ago? Not 10 years ago, 3, 4 years ago when the stock market was low, which I did buy a house then. The next best time is tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I always think.
And the reason why I say that, just to simplify things, is like if people want to buy a house when the market's down, that's the same thing you do with investments, right? You buy investments when the market's down because it's going to go back up. And so, like in this time of age where we see tariffs affecting it, inflation affecting things, it's the best time to really put money back into it, right? Because it's going to adjust itself. And now you're buying it at a discount. So when it goes back up, you're going to see a lot more returns. So even when you look at things like tariffs and inflation, those are actual good things when you're looking at where to put money at from that perspective.
Also, just for like savings, right? So like for my savings account, you know, I've been looking around and right now, would you say it's a good time to just kind of keep your money, some of your money in savings because you got, you know, because right now we're getting a little bit higher yields on savings accounts than we were getting, you know, like 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah, I definitely would encourage anybody to put their money into a high yield savings account versus just leaving it in the regular savings due to the interest rates that you're getting at this point in time.
Oh man, appreciate that. Definitely appreciate you taking your time with us, man.
No problem, man.
Cool, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah, I was doing some research on what my man Kayla was talking about, stagflation. It was kind of like, man, you kind of getting, I can't say what I want to say, but it's almost like it's coming out of both ends. You know what I'm saying? You got the inflation that's going to hit you with the tariffs on top of that, and then with the, you know, the economic uncertainty and the unemployment. All of that drives together. So that leads to my next question, you know, but from a simplified perspective, when we're talking about tariffs from a retail perspective, you know, I like to get me some fresh clothes, I like to get some, you know, I don't shop at Target anymore because they don't like us anymore. And I'm glad about that. And I'm not even afraid to say it no more on Black Men Sundays. But let's talk about like when we're looking for clothes or people with children looking to buy clothes. Let's talk about these retail tariffs.
So I was exposed to one of those. I got onto a company that basically had tariffs on the clothes, and I saw a huge markup of about 25% on something that I felt like I didn't need to pay money on. So it really just made me realize like some of the shopping that we do, if it's online shopping, we need to be real cognizant of like if there's tariffs associated with it, because that discount that we're getting online may be full price that we find in the stores at this point. And so it's not really thrifty shopping anymore. But I've also realized that some companies are not necessarily adding tariffs as well. So in some instances, you just need to be cognizant of like what companies are actually getting their goods from other countries and adding the tariffs. I don't know if it was at the time when I purchased some clothes that I got hit with a 25 tariff fee because I don't think it's on there anymore. But I completely stopped shopping there moving forward because it just was a waste of my money from that end. And so when we think about retail and where we're spending our money at, I think again, the same thing with budgeting and planning is like for the summertime, yeah, we might need to get some summer clothes, but it may not be going to, you know, these off-brand, you know, websites where we could get it for cheap and then send it back because you're not going to only pay tariff tax but then in sending it back, you may not get that return on the tariff that you've already paid for. So,
Great information, man. I'm gonna ask you the real hard question now, man. You enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
I am, man. I am.
Yeah, this is what we do over here, man. And so let's talk about the confidence in investing. A lot of people, when they hear the tariffs, people, I felt like people, because I live in Florida. So when people panic in Florida, oh, hurricanes coming, category five, people is buying up everything. Ain't gonna be no waters. Like, ain't gonna be no snacks. Like, they take all that serious down here. But I feel like people kind of went into like an early tariff frenzy where, you know what, let me buy the toilet paper up now. Let me buy up whatever I can buy. Let me buy it in bulk. So when the tariffs hit, oh, I'm straight. So, how do we ease those tensions?
Honestly, everything is based off emotions. And so I think really having someone like a financial advisor or someone that's in the financial industry that you could talk to really understand what are the changes that are happening, but then really say, is this something that I need to get right now? Right? Because even with the pandemic and all the other stuff that's happened in the past, I'm guilty of it too. Like I probably still have disinfectant wipes in the house that we ain't used, and it's probably dried up at this point. And so, at the same instances, we probably just need to, slow down to speed up. And I think a lot of times we are reactionary versus just letting say, hey, maybe let's get a week or two in advance of stuff versus having 3 or 4 months of it. Because again, those same consumer goods are going to still need to make money. And so they're going to have to end up finding another way to mass produce to get those things out there. So if you have like 2, 3 weeks of essentials and you start seeing that trend happen, just wait for it to come back.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's great information. No, because me, I'm like, I still got gloves in here. I still got masks. You know, I wear the mask to work because, sometimes people be off on that weekly vacation and they come back. I'm like, well, I didn't know you wear a mask now. Okay, cool. I'd be peeping the game. So, yeah, man. But I appreciate that, man. And my last question for you, I'm going to let you slide, man. When we talk about like business owners, because I do hear it a lot where, I get a lot of my products from, China. I get a lot of products from overseas where, they're about to impose these tariffs, so I'm about to pay almost double, almost triple to just get it to me. So, are there any alternatives? And what advice do you have for the business owners that are in that's in that position right now?
Yeah, I would say probably, similar to what I mentioned earlier, assess their supply chain and impact on their pricing strategy. So I would say conduct a thorough analysis on the supply chain to understand how the tariffs impact their costs. Probably identify which products are affected and consider diversifying with other suppliers to help mitigate that. Enhance operation efficiency. So probably look for ways to streamline operations and reduce overhead costs. That could evolve with renegotiation of contracts or optimizing inventory management or even improving production process. Probably explore opportunities to source materials from other countries that's not affected by tariffs. That may require building new relationships and suppliers that could help ultimately save costs. But those are some of the things that I would look at to help eliminate some of those additional costs from that end, as well as potentially hedge any type of inflationary costs that come from that as well.
Great information, man. Great information. That's what we're talking about, man. Rodney Griffin, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time coming on Black Men Sundays, hitting that tariff topic. I've tried to, pull it out on other guests, but they didn't want to touch it. So I figured, hey, we're gonna tariff it up today with my man Rodney Griffin out of Northwestern Mutual, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Financial advisor. Oh, you know what? Before we get out of here, I want to ask you one question, man. You do any investing? You do any crypto investing? You more traditional investing, home ownership? Let's go, man. This is Black Men
Yeah.
Sundays.
So I am more traditional investing. I do have my wife and I, we have three homes right now. So I definitely look at that from a generational wealth standpoint. I have two daughters. So looking at just ways of not only enhancing them, better than where I was, but just trying to make sure that they have the tools that they need to continue to advance further than what I got. So, I just continue to try to find ways to build.
Okay, so you said you got three homes. So, okay, so what technique did you use to get in those three? Because I've heard brothers say, I'll, live in the house for a year, And then make it a investment home. So what technique did you use?
Honestly, man, so I bought my first crib at 24. And I lived in it. I had a roommate, so I just shared costs. You know, it's like, why am I going to spend a whole money? Almost not like the house hacking type of trend. Why am I spending the whole mortgage when I have somebody else that can help me with it? And then as soon as I moved out, my wife had a condo, and so I moved in with her. We ended up keeping that until we bought a townhouse. Actually, now I think about it, we have four cribs. Bought a townhouse, moved into that, and then a couple of years ago we bought a single family home. So like we've lived in everything that we've owned, but she is into that real estate space. So you know we actually have another house on contract right now that we're gonna probably flip, and then use that to either buy some more, or one of the things I want to do is get something on the water, especially understanding what happened with COVID. I want to be able to, if I have to stay at my home, be able to look outside the window and see some water or something like that. So,
Yeah, I hear that, man. And many blessings to you and your family, man. I appreciate you coming on Black Men Sundays, man. Rodney Griffin, financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual. We appreciate you. But before I let you slide, I feel like my brother K Lolly got something else for you.
just one quick question. So you said you got those properties. How are you managing those properties? Who's managing them?
Perfect. So I manage it myself.
Okay.
And a lot of it is because we lived in them, they're more self-managed, right? We have condos, we have townhouses. And so a lot of the upkeep is really internal. And so we just kind of manage it on our own.
Okay, cool. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Rodney Griffin, financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual, Howard University grad, man. I appreciate you coming on. You didn't duck the word tariffs. You actually handled that. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And hopefully you'll come back on Black Men Sundays, brother.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things.